Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Hour number three on FST, Mike Blewett and Joe Gallina. Getting through it, talking NFL draft. We'll swing it back over to MLB in a minute. But since we keep getting into the players and the needs and everything else, and there is so much content to cover for the NFL draft, you know, there's a lot of different angles, obviously. We're trying to figure out, first of all, for many of you, who the hell these players are, right? For those of you not intimately familiar with college football, it's, you know, what do you really know about Miles Sanders? Or Emery mentioned Dexter Williams from Notre Dame. He's a guy that's like a top 10 running back in this draft, but that might not, we might not see him pick till day three. You know, that's, there's a lot of time that could go by before he's picked, but he could still be an impact player. For a lot of the fantasy community has embraced that running backs don't matter. And I think to some extent that's true. It's what's around you. You know, one other thing that Emery said that, you know, the Miami thing, I totally would understand if Brian Flores is like, I don't want to work with Fitzpatrick as like my main option here. We're going to, you know, what if we win like three games and then I'm out of here because we had a 3-13 season like Steve Wilkes did. Well, I just think they have so many holes, the Dolphins do, that they really should move back. It doesn't mean they can't take a quarterback if they obtain multiple picks. Like maybe they end up with Daniel Jones because they're later in the first round or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like maybe they trade with the Steelers. The Steelers go up and take the linebacker, and then they're down at 20, and Drew Lock is there, and they take Drew Lock or they take Daniel Jones, whatever. It seems like there's going to be three or four quarterbacks taken, right? Murray, Haskins, Locke, Daniel Jones. That seems to be the top four. Throw Will Greer's name out there. I think he's likely second round. And then Ryan Finley as well from NC State. Those are probably the guys. But I've said this before, even if you don't think Daniel Jones or, hell, Haskins or Locke are first-round picks, they'll probably get drafted in the first round. Just like the Ravens did with Lamar Jackson, they'll move, somebody will move back up into the first round to take one of these guys so that they have him on the fifth year. It's a big reason why you see that kind of stuff. Getting an extra year out of a quarterback's contract is important for a couple of reasons. One, you're getting an extra year to evaluate him, right? Can kind of kick the can down the road like the Bucs and the Titans are doing right now with Jameis and Mariota, respectively. The Jags did that to some extent with Bortles. Even though they probably didn't feel good about it, they gave him an extra year to see if maybe he can turn it around in year five, right? That first-round pick having the fifth-year option is really important for teams to continue to evaluate. And by the way, if it's going well, you can extend him, but you don't have to. You can just exercise the fifth-year option, and it still won't be quite market value, right? So so that's why you'll see probably a fourth quarterback get drafted. I'd imagine Jones, Haskins, Locke, and Murray all make it into the first round. I don't see a fifth one. I don't see Will Greer necessarily being a reach, but it wouldn't stun me if somebody really, if teams traded back out of the early to mid second round to draft a quarterback, you know, if the Bengals wanted to do something like that, if the Bengals passed or the Broncos passed with their original picks and then traded back into the end of the first round to take one of those guys. That seems to be a strategy that one of these teams can employ, like the Ravens did last year with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, it's possible. And you bring up the great point about having that fifth year as well, in terms of, you know, sometimes maybe, let's say you draft a quarterback thinking that his skill set would work best with one scheme or with one group of players. But, you know, you could take that year after year after year of building, you know, players around that that quarterback that might help him to, you know, progress. So you brought up a very good point.
So, as far as other, you know, other fantasy options, just, you know, Josh Jacobs, that's the running backs is all going to matter where they go, right? We see impactful running backs that were not first round picks. We saw what happened with the Chiefs last year. Kareem Hunt, he wasn't a first round pick. He gets released. Then they bring in Damian Williams. He wasn't a first round pick and he's fine. You know, every time, if the offense is legit, then it keeps going. Todd
Your
Gurley,
team, the Steelers.
Yeah.
Right?
Didn't matter.
You know, right. You have a good scheme. You have a good offensive line. Yeah.
God, I think the only pick I got right 2 years ago was that the Steelers were going to draft James Conner at some point. And it was like the third or fourth round when they got him. Because I really thought they needed a guy like that, a guy that had some potential and they could back up to Le'Veon Bell. I didn't suspect that he was going to be starting the entire year last year, but I didn't think Le'Veon Bell was playing all of the year. So anyway, so Josh Jacobs, you could see some other guys. I'm trying to see if in this latest mock.
Henderson.
Darrell Henderson.
Maybe Henderson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see some other guys in here. Miles Sanders.
You know, Devin Singletary, maybe?
Him. Maybe. Ran a really slow time, which worried people. He ran like a 4.66 at the combine, which is brutal. Damian Harris, the other Alabama running back. That's a possibility.
Montgomery
right there.
From Iowa State, maybe?
Yes, David Montgomery.
Maybe, yeah.
So we're just rattling off these guys because of, you know, the possibility for them to be impactful fantasy players. I've mentioned J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Montgomery catch the ball.
Mm-hmm. That's right. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is a guy that I mentioned a lot at receiver. We see other guys like Miles Boykin, Notre Dame, N'Keal Harry. We mentioned Deebo Samuel from South Carolina. He could be an interesting slot receiver. So A.J. Brown from Ole Miss, more productive than D.K. Metcalf. We mentioned Paris Campbell. So these are the names that you're going to – Terry McLaurin from Ohio State. I'll name one or two more. Kahale Waring from San Diego State is a tight end that didn't start playing football until his senior year in high school. So he walked on at San Diego State, earned a scholarship, played a couple of years, and here he is in the NFL draft and considered to be a top five tight end. And Andy
Kelvin
Isabella.
Harman, maybe?
That's Kelvin Harmon from NC State, yes. And Andy Isabella, who we mentioned in the previous one of the previous segments, he's going to be like he and Deebo Samuel are going to be the slot receivers coming out of this draft that people will be enamored with. Maybe other guys get put into the slot, but that's interesting. Riley Ridley, Calvin's younger brother, will be a potential impact wide receiver as well. So Hakeem Butler is the last name I'll mention. He's huge. He's 6'5". He ran a 4.48. In this mock draft that I'm reading right here, it's Todd McShay. He has him going to Carolina at 77, so early to mid third round. That would be pretty interesting. They just had a huge wide receiver that didn't work out in Devin Funchess. That was a project. Would they want to take on another project wide receiver? But they need somebody opposite DJ Moore. That would be an interesting choice right there. Cam's completion percentage went up last year, but he was throwing so many passes close to the line of scrimmage.
CMC, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So, anyway.
Hey, what do your Steelers do, by the way? Steelers are going to hit the defense, right? Do they look for Antonio Brown replacement? And then they get the kid they drafted last, James Washington. No, not the first round. No, but I'm saying, I think they hit what? Defense first, and then maybe eventually look for try to find another wide receiver. I mean, they've always been good at finding one.
I think, they have been, certainly, for this decade, they've been great at it. But I think they're going to roll. They signed Dante Moncrief.
Yep.
So
James Washington, a year older, a little more experience.
Yeah, look, you can't spend a top – you can't spend a second-round pick on a guy like James Washington and not expect him to be able to step in here and play. He's right, not Juju. Right, right. He's not the same type of player. But Smith-Schuster's been a grand slam, not just a home run. That's a grand slam pick. He's a second year in the league, and the guy's got 200 catches, and he's been awesome. He was the team MVP last year. So Dante Moncrief is a nice guy to have in there. I do think they add depth. Is it in the first two rounds? I'm not sure. But based on all those names I rattled off, and we just talked about Hakeem Butler being a third-round pick, according to a recent mock draft, I could see them doing something then. But I think linebacker is really important for them. And if they don't get one of the two Devons, I think they'll look for some other options in round two or move around in round one or round two to get it. So I just think that's such a glaring need that they'll have to address it. It's the back seven of the defense is what they need to address mostly. I think they want it to be a linebacker, but if it was a different position, I think that would be okay as well.
I saw eventually where they might want to get a quarterback to play on the other side of Joe Hayden. Somebody did a mock where Byron Murphy from Washington, they took him in the first round. I don't know.
I think that's entirely possible. Like, here's their deal right now. They drafted Terrell Edmonds as a safety in the first round last year. Sean Davis, a safety 3 years ago in the second round. Those are going to be the starting safeties, even though Davis has been a mixed bag. Right now, they have Joe Hayden there. They had Mike Hilton in the slot or as the nickel. He played okay. Bud Dupree is in there at $9 million, the first-round pick from 2015. I think it's safe to say that that first-round pick has not worked out, but he's on the team for this year. If he is productive, maybe they give him an extension, but if he's looking for big money, he'll walk. He's only going to get an extension from the Steelers if he plays great and he doesn't demand big money. So he's likely to be his last year on the team. So that's why they could go outside linebacker or edge rusher at the position. They could. Like if Brian Burns from Florida State was there, they could do that as T.J. Watt and others develop. But they can't roll in with the middle linebacking core that they have right now. Vince Williams played fine. John Bostic was a liability. They signed Mark Barron. They just need... The back seven of the defense is what that first pick will be. I'd be stunned if it was anything else. I really would be. I'd be surprised.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. As far as other teams are concerned, you know, we've seen I do think it will be interesting in that I think we'll see some trades. I've said this before. You know, the capping the rookie cap several years back was – the biggest offshoot of it was that teams weren't hamstrung by bad contracts for unproven rookies. That was the biggest offshoot. But the second and the biggest ancillary benefit was that it made the draft more fun. Teams are willing to move and pay a price for guys. Yes, it's expensive to move up and down, but at least it's not expensive on your salary cap. It's expensive in draft capital. I think more and more teams are understanding that draft capital and having a lot of it is what's important. So that's why the Raiders have acquired a bunch of picks. That's why the Patriots and Eagles are looking, staring down 12 picks. I think the Giants are as well. So as much as the Giants, I don't appreciate what they've been doing. At least they have a lot of picks to try to correct some of the previous mistakes. But do you trust the guys that are picking to fill those holes?
Right, right. I think the Texans could be an interesting team that might – they have 2 second-round picks, right? Let's say if they trade one of their second-rounders and their first, then move up, you know, a little higher, in, let's say, into the teens or so, because they really need a lot of offensive line help, right? And there's
– they do.
They could – you know, yeah.
So. I think they need volume. So you're right. They do have the ability to move up. So if they really see an offensive lineman that they like, they should move up and take him. But I think they need volume. I think they need multiple offensive linemen. So I think those they could spend both second-round picks, or they could spend a first- and second-round pick on offensive line. And then, as Emery said, Will Fuller's injury history is so significant at this point in his career that you can't consider him to be a reliable long-term option on your team. I think he's a really
talented
player.
It's such a shame because him and Watson,
it is a shame.
They really connected, you know? I mean,
and who knows? He could explode this year and stay healthy. But again, as a team, you have to be thinking, well, this just keeps happening. We can't rely on him. He's a first-round pick, and he just keeps getting injured. So so there you go. That's it. I mean, I'm excited about the draft. Hopefully you all are too. We're going to do a ton of coverage on it, not just on Thursday night, but in the days preceding and succeeding that. But it should be a good time on next Thursday. So I know a lot of you are holding your breath and you get excited this time of year, but it should be wild. A couple of years ago, we didn't expect the Bears to move up and take Trubisky, but they spent a ton on him. And I'm still not a big believer in Trubisky, but he's in a great offensive system. They've got a lot of weapons. They made the playoffs. They could have had a playoff win, save for a tipped field goal. And that really, the Bears' season ended on such a sour note that it threw cold water on what was an overall successful season. If the Bears had just come out of that game with the field goal made, everything else was gravy. It just ended on a really bitter note.
Yeah, I mean, they're known, for their defense at this stage, right? And they've made some interesting moves. Jordan Howard replaced him with Mike Davis. Wide receivers, Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel. Like you mentioned, Trubisky a year older. It'd be an interesting team to watch. I mean, obviously driven by that defense, but got to score some points too. And like you mentioned, that just clanged off that field goal, it would have been a different story.
And they're rolling right now with Tariq Cohen. He's their lead back. So the Bears could conceivably be drafting somebody in the middle rounds here too.
Don't count out Mike Davis, though.
No, I know. You can't count him out. We'll get into the Pats and the Eagles have the most picks. They're looking at 12 picks. And beyond that, you got some teams like the Cardinals with 10 picks and the Bengals with 11. A lot of maneuvering to be done. We're going to come right back. We'll turn it back over to baseball after this. It's Mike and Joe on FST.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Back on FST, headed towards 11 o'clock. George Kurtz and Cam Stewart will be on with the weekend fantasy update in this league after that. Bogman and then Welsh and Bogman. Welsh and Bogman? Bogman and the Welsh? I was mixed that up. So, that's my bad, guys. So, just a little bit of news that you may have heard this week that we came out with a big announcement. We will be launching Sports Grid, which is the name of our parent company. We'll be launching a 24-hour sports betting network. We are partnering with Sports Radar. So, Sport Radar and Sports Grid announced an ambitious new programming partnership. This is all, by the way, courtesy of Legal Sports Report. I'm just reading their report on it. In the overlap between sports and gambling, the joint venture will include around-the-clock sports betting content broadcast via a proprietary platform. So the partnership marries Sports Radar's ad tech, OTT technology, and data with Sports Grid's engaging original programming, providing fans with accurate coverage and analysis of stats and odds across professional sports. So our president, Lou Mayone, called the Space Sports Radar deal game-changing for our company. And this partnership showcases our combined vision of delivering the true convergence of content, data, and gaming to the millions of sports fans craving this informative and entertaining programming. Joining forces with Sport Radar instantly affords Sports Grid with the ability to provide unquestionable best-of-breed sports wagering programming. So, there you go. So we're going to be in the competition with, like everybody else. It's going to be the first 24-hour free sports betting network. So in that sense, we're going to be all right. We're going to be able to find us on all these platforms. It's going to be coming out at some point this year. I don't have dates or anything like that, but it should be pretty cool. And if you want to take a look at it, feel free to get on our Twitter feed at FNTSY Radio or do some searching, and you'll see a little bit about what they're going to bring to the table. So there's going to be a lot of data that Sport Radar is able to mine, combine it with our programming, our hosts, and you'll see a sports betting network. Frankly, I don't think there's been discussions as to exactly who's going to be on that yet. You may see us. You may see other people. But we'll still also maintain the Fantasy Sports Radio and bringing you the fantasy sports information that you need.
What I'm looking forward to is it's going to make us better at what we do, Mike, because like you mentioned, we're getting that data from Sports Radar. So that, I'm really looking forward to that as well.
Yeah. Being a big Sport Radar, really big company, really big data, sport data company. I've been familiar with them for a long time. So I can tell you it's a company that anybody would be excited to be associated with. So good stuff there. Back to baseball. We talked a lot of football here today. Obviously, that's in part because almost entirely due to the fact that we have the NFL draft coming up. But MLB. So other stories that happened most recently. I'm seeing Shohei Ohtani is starting to throw now. I think you'll start to see him get back into the swing of things. What is an expectation for when Ohtani's going to come back?
I think they had always said it would be like early to mid-May, but I was watching some video where he was actually in the batting cage yesterday, and everyone's so psyched about it that even StatCast was measuring his exit velocity and whatnot. He hit at least one ball into the stands, and if there's one thing, I mean, obviously he's exciting to watch as a pitcher, but just his potential as a hitter. If you look at his stats, they were very, very good, and with the configuration of the Angels, man, they could really use his bat in the lineup every day. So it's exciting for baseball.
More than just him, I think. So
yeah, but it helps.
Yeah. No, you're right. They're currently 8-12, bringing up the rear, but the Red Sox have the worst record in the American League.
Oh my!
So at 7-13, along with the Royals. So they're struggling, obviously. Early season blues, World Series hangover, call it what you will. The only team worse than the Sox right now are the Marlins at 5-15. So they got some work to do, but there's a long way to go. We're not even at the end of April. They're 7 games back of the Rays. The Yankees are 4.5 back of the Rays. The Rays are at 14-6. The Rays are playing 700 ball.
I think the Rays are real. But, I'm not saying they're going to win the division, but
they're the best record in the major leagues right now.
Yeah. There will be, in my opinion, a force to be reckoned with for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
They're not going to go
No, I don't think so either. So, news related to my fantasy team. Kyle Hendricks got a win last night. Cubs get the win over the D-backs last night. The D-backs added Blake Swihart in a trade with the Red Sox yesterday, by the way. So, just a quick note there on the Diamondbacks. But Kyle Hendricks comes in, throws 7 innings. We're talking about guys not throwing a lot of innings. 7 innings, 3 hits, no runs, 2 walks, and 11 Ks. That's the Kyle Hendricks that I drafted, Joe.
Absolutely. He's always been a guy that has put good numbers ERA whip-wise, not really a strikeout pitcher. But just in general, if I'm not mistaken, Cubs starting pitching has been pitching well. I think they're on a 16 winning streak, and during that streak, the Cubs starters have an ERA below 1. So overall, Jose Quintana's been pitching better. John Lester's on the IL, but he's close to coming back. So we'll see what happens with the Cubbies moving forward. That's a tough division too. That NL Central Cubbies is 9-9. Yeah.
Yeah, Pedro Strop, he gets the save last night, his second of the year. Chris Bryant with a couple of RBIs last night, 2 for 4, run scored and the two ribbies, hitting .235, but see, hopefully he can pick those RBI numbers up. That's 8th on the season. Contreras, another RBI, his 13th, and Rizzo with an RBI, his 11th of the season. Ave Baez, 0 for 5 last night, so that's a tough one. On the Diamondback side of things, Kelly takes the loss last night. Merrill Kelly takes the loss. He is 1-2 on the season, 6 hits, 3 earned runs, 7 walks in 3 2/3 innings, yeah. Joe.
Yeah, you're not going to win when you do that. And I chuckled because I thought back to – I was watching the highlights of this game. The winds were whipping all over the place. And at one point there was a short pop-up to just beyond second base, and you had the winds whipping, and there were four Diamondbacks just watching the ball because they didn't know who should – you know, who should get it, because it just dropped in between them. But yeah, Kelly is a guy. I think he came over from the Korean Baseball League, right? And everyone was hoping that he'd be the next Miles Mikolas. And look, he still might have some good starts in him. But you're not going to win when you don't have control like that. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. So on the hitting side of things, they only knocked in one run. That RBI goes to Danny Peralta. And Walker, 2 for 4. Kettle Marte, 2 for 4. So that's it for that game. Flip the page over to the Red Sox, who got a win over the Rays last night. We talked about both of those teams already. Let's see. Home run for, on the Rays side of things, home run for Brandon Lowe. He goes 1 for 4 with an RBI. Diaz
He's coming
goes,
on that kid.
Yeah. Yandy Diaz, 2 for 4, batting leadoff, 2 for 3 last night. He's a run scored last night. Let's see who else. Avisail Garcia hit a bomb last night. A bomb. Just, was it? Oh, wait. No, I was looking at a different highlight. He's 1 for 4 with an RBI. He did not hit a home run. That's fine.
I tell you, two bombs last night. One was Trevor Story, and one was a guy that I know you own in our league, and everyone was trying to take him from you, trade you for him. Is Yoan Moncada hit a?
Where the hell would I trade
bomb.
That guy? The second I traded him, everybody's like, "I'll give you what do you want from Moncada?" I'm like, "No." The whole reason I drafted him is because I'm expecting this.
Right. And he's lowered his strikeouts. Yeah, he's having a very good year. And look, the guy just, I know we're going off because you were talking about a different game, but Moncada.
That's okay.
Just having a phenomenal year. And to me, the biggest thing, like I mentioned, is I think at this point in his last season, he had 35 strikeouts. He's cut that down to 20. So that's a good sign, because that's always been, I think he led the league with 217 strikeouts last season. So
yeah, that's rough.
Underlying good talent, and it's good to see him getting things going in the right direction. So
yeah,
hold on to him,
so
but
far.
If you want to trade him, talk to me first.
Sure. 6 homers, 18 RBIs, 321. Don't hold your breath waiting for the trade offers to unload Moncada. Even if the strikeouts creep up, you know, this is what we're looking for. The power, OPS, OPS at 990 right now. So early, these stats will obviously adjust, and
sure,
we'll see some regression. But the power early is a good thing. He had 17 homers last year with the 217 strikeouts. You know, we might see 7 or 8 homers by the time we even leave April. So that's a good thing.
Right. He could be a 2020 guy this year, you know, easily.
That'd be great.
You know, 20 homers, 20 steals, yeah. Yep.
I love that. It's, you know, that's
that would look good on my team.
To come by.
But,
yeah, it's not
exactly
easy to come by. So,
well, 20 steals might be a little ambitious on my part, but he had 12 last season. So,
Jose Abreu last night, he so he did not hit a homer, but a 2 for 5 with a couple of ribbies. Yonder Alonso, 1 for 5 with an RBI. So just kind of trolling around these box scores last night to keep you updated. George Springer, he's 2 for 3 last night. A couple of walks, an RBI. Altuve, 2 for 5. He's hitting .316 on the season. 3 RBIs for him. My boy Alex Bregman, yard work, 2 for 5 with a run. Scored, did he?
Yeah, Homer Bregman. Where am I?
I think he hit a home run. There we go.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, 2 for mm-hmm. 5.
Yep.
With that solo homer, he's hitting .295 on the season. Your guy, who you've mentioned before, Michael Brantley, he's 1 for 4 mm-hmm, last mm-hmm. night with a run scored. So they put up 7 runs last night on the unfortunate Drew Smyly. God, this guy, I feel like Drew Smiley's been around for my entire life. I don't know why he's that kind of guy to me, but he is. He's only 29, but I feel like he's been around mm-hmm. forever. So he takes the loss, gave up 4 earned runs in 3 2/3. Justin Verlander threw 7 strong last night. You mentioned him earlier in the show. 8 strikeouts, mm-hmm. 3 walks, 3 hits in 7 innings. So a big outing for Verlander. He's 3-0 on the year.
Yeah, it's amazing how he kind of rejuvenated once he got traded to the Astros. Because when he was with the Tigers, I mean, he obviously put together some tremendous seasons, but it looked like his career was on the downturn. And I don't know if it's kudos to the Astros, you know, and maybe I'd have to take a look at his stats and take a look to see if he made some changes in the type of pitches he throws, but he's just been insane since then. Pitched some tremendous games in the playoffs against our Yankees and stuff. And in that game also, Altuve hit his 8th home run. Yeah, you know, I was watching clips of this game. I didn't realize how jacked Altuve is, and I've watched him play in the past too. But you know, he's a little guy. But you know, I guess he was wearing like a short sleeve shirt. He's got some some biceps there.
Tickets to the gun show for Altuve. So great player. Just like a freakishly talented baseball player. Doesn't matter that he's short. Yeah. Like, he's a freakishly talented baseball player and does have power.
He had some issues with injuries last year, but he's healthy and he's playing like an MVP.
Yeah. You mentioned him early in the show really briefly, but switching over to the Mets, Cardinals. Mets get the W 5-4 despite the horrendous DeGrom news. They moved to 11-8 on the season. But Pete Alonso hit another home run last night.
Yeah.
His 7th of the year. And he's got 18 RBIs already, and just kind of came out of nowhere. Talk about like a fantasy asset, at least for this first month. He's already wildly exceeded expectations.
Yeah, and kudos to the Mets for not being one of those teams that keeps their star players down in order to, you know, keep as much control, as many years of control as they can. But what you're looking with
this
guy
this year too, they brought a bunch of guys up
with Tatis. Yeah, Tatis hit his 6th home run last night as well. But you look at just like the deep metrics, you know, his hard hit rate, Alonso, 54.3. You mentioned the high batting average, you know, .333, the 7 home runs, the 18 runs batted in. You know, I was aware of him and I was high on him. Unfortunately, I didn't have a chance to draft him. Someone beat me to him in every league.
But what are your expectations for him?
I thought that he would definitely go 25 home runs at least. I wasn't 100% sure about the batting average, and it still might level off. I mean, his BABIP right now is at .410, so that that might indicate that he has maybe a little regression coming. But you know, you look at his minor league numbers, and you do pause a little bit because he played in the PCL, which is known for high
inflated
offensive
averages.
Numbers. So but I'm not shocked with the home runs. I'm a little surprised with the high batting average though. But
when you say the BABIP is .410, where do you expect it to mm-hmm. be? Where do you expect it to level off at?
The league average is .300. Looking at his career minor league numbers, they're about between .330 and like the .360. So the .410 is probably a little bit higher than So we'll see.
Robbie Cano,
but that doesn't mean he can't bat like .280. I mean, which would be fine.
Right.
.280 and 25 home runs, probably 30 at this point.
The Mets would sign up for that in a second.
He's
already
got
7 homers. If he ends up with 30 homers and he hits .280,
yeah,
I think they'd be thrilled with that. You mentioned McNeil earlier. He's hitting .391, even though he went 0-for-5 last night. Robbie Cano, 3-for-5 last night. So maybe pulling out of what has been a pretty bad slump. He's only hitting .218 on the season. Michael Conforto 0-for-2 last night, but he drew 3 walks. His OPS over 1,000, hitting 315. You need to start going through it. The Mets are doing a pretty good job right now. They're 11-8. They're treading water. This DeGrom news is terrible, but, you know, Jason Vargas, who threw last night, he only threw the four innings and went sort of opener role here. How many pitches did Vargas throw? 75 pitches in
75.
Four innings.
Yeah.
It's a lot, but he only gives up the one earned run. The win goes to Seth Lugo, who came in and pitched the fifth and sixth innings. Familia with a hold. Gesellman with a hold. Diaz, his seventh save on the year. I drafted Aroldis Chapman. I think I was the first guy to draft a closer in our league, and I drafted him over Diaz. Did I make a huge mistake, or what do you think?
No. You couldn't see this coming. You know, hopefully the injuries will subside with the Yankees and they can start playing the way that they normally would. But Chapman will be fine. He'll get you his 30 saves or so.
Hey, my assumption was that the Yankees would have more opportunities to win games than the Mets.
Right, exactly. So no.
I'd rather have the closer.
It was a good assumption.
It's going to win more. Yeah. So go ahead. Yep. One more thing you said.
Real quick, Jose Martinez playing right field for the Cardinals. This guy could just hit. Unfortunately, he doesn't field very well, but with Tyler O'Neill on the DL, Harrison Bader on the DL, he's going to be in their lineup. So the guy could hit. Just keep an eye on Jose Martinez.
We'll come up, wrap up the show after this. Adam Wainwright took the loss last night in St. Louis. So we'll come right back. We'll talk about everything else going on this weekend.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Yeah, getting it done. It's like Studio 54. We broadcast out of Studio 34, but Sean Engel's trying to turn it into Studio 54. A little old school disco for you on a Saturday.
You got the
morning.
Disco ball hanging from the ceiling in your home studio
of
there?
Absolutely, yeah. Why would I do anything else? How about my man, Herman Marquez?
Yeah, he pitched well the other night, right? Yeah, I mean,
he gave him a ton of hits last night.
A lot of people
didn't get a W, but he's five innings pitched last night, gave up 10 hits, not involved in the decision, but he's been off to a good start.
Yeah, a lot of people high on him. I don't know, for some reason I faded him, but maybe I was wrong. five starts, what, 2.25 ERA?
Hell yeah!
Not giving up too many walks, 2.3 walks per nine.
Yeah.
You have him in our pit league?
I do.
Have him in the fantasy pit? Okay.
I do.
So, we'll
he's been saving my bacon because Sale has been terrible. Yeah, you want Marquez and Moncada. I get it. Everybody does. Tyler Glasnow and Marquez have been saving my ass in the first month of the season because Sale has been terrible. But anyway. So that's where we're at right now. Yeah, I mean, just looking at their numbers.
Hey, in that league, I lost Trey Turner, so I don't want to hear it, okay?
Sale is pitching to an 8.5 ERA right now. Yeah. Chapman's only got 3 saves. But Marquez has 30 strikeouts and 2.25 ERA. Mm-hmm. And Glasnow has a 1.13 ERA and 24 strikeouts. I mean, they've been great. So
think about that trade
Shane
that the Rays
Green
made. They got Glasnow. They got Austin Meadows back.
Yeah.
You know, from, I mean, I know that Archer's been pitching pretty well.
Archer, right?
Yeah. But he's been pitching
well.
I like
Archer. I've never understood why he couldn't put it all together. Like, long-term put it all together.
Right.
I still like him. I'm still like a believer in general.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the Phillies lost 4-3. In 12 innings last night, they had 17 hits. They scored three runs.
Five of them from Harper, right?
Yeah. And Bryce Harper's first ever five-hit game. He went five for seven last night. with an RBI, how many did they leave on base? Oh, guess the number. How many they left on base? Oh, my God.
On 17 hits? I don't know. Maybe, well, let's see. They only scored, wow. So I'm going to say 7 or 8. How about 8?
No, they left 19 men on base last night.
What? Oh, my 19 God.
19 men on base. They 6 walks. And the 17 hits, they only scored the 3 runs. So they left 19 men on base in the 12-inning game, which is why they lost. And it ended, and they took the lead in the top of the 12th. And then Charlie Blackmon hit a walk-off 2-run bomb. And they went nuts. Mm-hmm. It was, yeah, really cool. You're right. His first home run of the year. I'm a big Blackmon guy, but it took him a while to get off the schneid. 2 for 5 last night. He gets the 2 RBIs on the walk-off home run. He's been off to a slow start. As you said, it's his first homer. He's hitting only .232. But again,
all the
it
Rockies
is early.
Bats. He, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I was going to say, all the Rockies hitting bats. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry
to
interrupt you. But just,
no,
just
no,
in terms
fault.
Of.
It's my fault.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no, no. But just in terms of the entire Rockies team, I mean, I was looking at their team numbers. Going into last night, I think they were batting .230. When have you ever seen that? And I think their slugging percentage was in the 300s. Then I looked at their schedule. I believe that the majority of their games were road games. So this road-home split in Colorado is real, and especially real when it comes to Blackmon as well. So they've also had the injuries, you know, Daniel Murphy on the DL, David Dahl was on the DL, Ryan McMahon was on the DL, came back, hit 2 home runs.
So he's back.
Yeah, he hit 2 home runs the night before, too. So things are looking up for the Rockies. But I think that's part of the whole situation is them starting the year with a majority of games playing on the road.
Yeah. Arenado 0-for-5 last night, down to .247. They used almost the entire roster last night. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 players they used last night. And a lot of zeros up there. So they still, in the 12 innings, only had 8 hits. So drew a few walks as well. But, you know, they're, as you said, I think they'll turn it around at some point. They're 8-12 on the season so far. Played a lot of road games, so maybe being back in the friendly Mile High ballpark will help them out. So last game we'll get to probably on the day will be Mariners-Angels. Mariners take the W, 5-3. Mariners are 15-8. What's the deal? You a believer or what?
Their starting pitching is questionable, but the start with the offense, I think their offense, I mean, look at Domingo Santana 2 years ago, hit 30 home runs, stole a bunch of bases. So the fact that he's doing well isn't surprising. D. Gordon's always been a good hitter. You know, I love Mitch Haniger. You know, Bruce has been hitting a bunch of home runs, but batting on the .200. But I think that once he levels off, you know, he's a lifetime .240-something hitter. So, you know, he's going to level off in terms of his batting average. But, you know, he has a potential of 30 home runs. And this guy, Daniel Vogelbach, who they had moved up and down from their minor league system. It looks like he's finally
right now.
Yeah, it looks like he's finally put together. I think he had a home run last night as well, if I'm not mistaken, right?
1367 OPS. He did. Beckham hit a home run. Vogelbach hit a home run. Mm-hmm. And Bruce hit a home run.
I don't think they're this good.
To Jay
like
Bruce,
the 15 and 8, they've kind of like you know faded a little bit, but they could be like a
playoff
you know,
contender.
A 5, probably not. You know, I think that maybe I could picture them maybe an 84 win team. You know, just slightly over 500.
So off to a good start here for them. On the flip side, Mike Trout 1-for-4, 2 ribbies. He hits a home run, 2-run homer for Mike Trout, his 6th of the year. I remember reading an article earlier this week, like, when do you consider stats to be real and not phony, inflated early April stats? And the line was, the punchline was, when Mike Trout is first in WAR. And he was first in WAR like 10 days into the season. So, so Mike Trout obviously continues to produce. I have Andrelton Simmons on our fantasy team, and he isn't a guy that I expect a lot out of, but he's been on fire this week. I was just looking at the stats. The last 7 days, Andrelton Simmons, hitting 321, so 9 of 28. You just don't get a lot of run production out of him. He scored three runs and four ribbies, but he's really like my third string shortstop. So I just have him there for some at-bats because I'm going to struggle at true shortstop because I'm Jurickson Profar has been a mess for the last
week. Yeah, he's been hot and cold.
So.
It's been a little bit warm. Yeah. He started off the season real cold, right, if I'm not mistaken? Profar?
He was okay early the last, but on the season, he's hitting 190. So that's –
Hey, keep,
I mean, I can't,
keep in mind.
I can't, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, keep in mind in our league, and this, you know, for our listeners, you know your league rules too. Keep in mind, and I'm sure you know this, Mike, we can make daily moves in terms of
I do
free
it all
agents.
Time.
Right, right. Yeah. And also just even just changing your lineup too. So, you know, if let's say Simmons has a particularly good matchup, get him in there. And you know what? He's not going to kill you. Over his career, if you look, he's, last year 11 home runs, 10 stolen bases, the .292 batting average. For his career, he's batting .268. So
he's a much better baseball player than he is a fantasy asset. But
Yes.
But
in deeper leagues, yes, a little bit. Yeah.
Right, right. So, you know who's also just been a mess? And I know I'm talking about my team, but it's relatable.
That's fine. That's fine.
Eric Hosmer.
Mm.
I just liked Hosmer where I got him because I just thought that the addition of Machado would put him in a better position to like snap out of the funk that he had last year. But he's hitting 184 right now. Granted, we don't even have 100 at bats into the year, but he's got one homer. He's hitting 184. That's not who Eric Hosmer is. Like, he should be a legitimate, at least a 285 type hitter with some decent power, nothing crazy.
Yeah.
Like, that's who Hosmer is. And he's getting paid a ton, but I just thought some of the additions that they made to the lineup, whether it's Tatis or Machado, whomever else they've added, I just thought it would help Hosmer. Rising tide lifts all boats kind of thing.
Right, right. Like you mentioned, I mean, for his career, he's hit for average and probably more like what an 18 to low 20s kind of home run guy. What I found interesting about him in the preseason when I was looking up his stats, he actually, you know, Petco Park isn't thought of as a hitter's park, but you know what? He batted .284 at home and .223 on the road, which is kind of odd. But you're right. Yeah, you know, that whole Padres team seems to have gotten a little bit of a boost from having Machado there, the Machado effect, right?
Yeah. You would think it would continue to help. Last night, maybe not our brightest example, but they lose the game in extra innings 3-2. Not a lot of production there, but Tatis goes 1-for-3. He scored both runs for the Padres, drew a couple of walks as well, hitting .296 early in the season. Machado 2-for-5 last night. Hosmer 0-for-5 again, down to 184. As far as pitching was concerned, we had some good outings there. Actually, Matt Strom threw eight strong innings last night. His ERA is down to 3.05. Only gave up the one earned run and five strikeouts. I feel like we talked about Anthony DeSclafani too much on this network, but I always hear him mentioned, maybe not us, but I felt like he's been mentioned the last couple of years. Maybe it's because we have a lot of Italian-American hosts, and Anthony DeSclafani is such a strong Italian-American
name. Hey, Anthony.
Yeah, that's right. Tony. Six innings pitched. He gave a run last night, but the decisions all went to the relievers. Stammen takes the loss, and Lorenzen gets a save with the win going to Jared Hughes. So not a lot of stats in that game at all. Just an extra inning 3-2 game. So that's it kind of for the box scores. Anybody in there, Reds, Padres, that you want to highlight there? We kind of picked on the Padres a little bit, but Yasiel Puig is not doing much early in the season. He's only 183 right now, but a long way to go and a new ballpark and a new team for him.
You're looking, what, at the Dodgers Brewers?
Yasiel Puig about in Cincinnati. Like, his transition to Cincinnati has been rough.
Oh, yeah. What the heck am I thinking of? Yeah. Puig is, he's, you know, let me tell you just a brief history. I mean, I picked him up when he first came up. You know, he had a good pedigree. But the guy just seems to get in his own way. you know, a lot of times.
Yeah.
And it's got
why the Dodgers
mega
traded him.
Talent. Exactly, exactly. The Dodger guy that I like, and I know I'm going off here, is take a look at this Alex Verdugo, who was 1-for-3 last night, batting 362. He's a guy that could see more bats. But Puig, he's a guy that a lot of people were thinking that he'd get a big boost from his move to a very hitter-friendly park in Cincinnati. I didn't buy it that much because, it's just the – his own mind, his own, he just can't seem to get out of his own way.
Yeah, so that's it. Take some other guys that I could highlight from my squad. Reese Hoskins has cooled off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He started off great. He had the 5 homers early this past week, no homers. Hitting .222. So last 7 days for Reese Hoskins, not the best. Mankata, as you mentioned, is on fire. Simmons is better. Cody Bellinger has had a good week. 2 homers and hitting .444 this week. But on the season, look, Cody Bellinger is everything I wanted out of him. He's already got 10 homers and he's hitting .423.
Mm-hmm. Is he available in the outfield and first base? Because I know that
yes.
Yahoo is pretty. Yeah, so that's a big boost as well. But yeah, I mean that whole Dodgers team. For some reason, I guess it's because Kershaw was there and whatnot. But you think of them as like more of a hitting. A pitching team. But last year they were second overall in home runs. Yep. As of yesterday morning, they were second overall in home runs in the league. So they got a lot of boppers on that team.
No doubt. No doubt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like where my team is at right now. I think I'm going to have bigger pitching challenges than I'm going to have hitting challenges. But if Kyle Hendricks and Germán Márquez and Tyler Glasnow keep getting it done, I'm going to be in good shape. And you would think Chris Sale comes back to reality at some point in a positive way. Mm-hmm. For me,
he's either going to go on the IL or he's going to pitch better.
That's right.
That's simple, right?
That's right. They're going to give him some sort of a break. If his next mm-hmm. outing is a bad one, they'll like give him a break and put him on the 10-day IL, just give him a rest of some sort. Hopefully just the 10 days. How about yourself? How about your team, the league that we're competing in? Who's the guy that has been a boom and who's been a bust so far?
Well, so far, Aaron Nola's been a bust. If you look at his numbers, they've been pretty poor. He pitches today, so we'll see. Unfortunately, it's at Colorado. So, we'll see. Yeah. In terms of a boom, Tim Anderson's been going off. I know that he's got a potty mouth.
Yeah, he has. In more ways than one.
Yeah, but you look at his numbers, and, you know, when I drafted him, I expected maybe like 250, 260 batting average, but the potential for 20 home runs and 20 stolen bases is what attracted me to him. He had me at hello, and so far he's doing well. I mean, and obviously Chris Davis just keeps on just hitting dingers, man, and he got that little extension from the A's. So
it's not so little. It's not a nice extension. You don't see the A's paying that money too often, but
right,
good for
right.
him. Guy hits .247 every year, and he made him $34 million. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, and the 40, he's locked for 40 home runs every year.
Yeah.
And you look at him, and he's a little guy. He's another little guy that just
Like, he goes to show that if you can do one thing in a proven fashion in mm-hmm. any sport, really, you got a job for a long time.
Yeah.
That's
yep.
what he does. He happens to be really good at this one thing. So thanks for listening this morning, everybody. You'll next see me live for NFL draft coverage, and I'll be back here next Saturday with Joe Galina. So up next is George Kurtz and Cam Stewart for the Weekend Fantasy Update. Joe, great to talk to you as always. Talk to you again soon.
A lot of fun.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yep.